Hello! Welcome to It's Okay to Feel with Jennifer Unknown, a NAMI OC podcast, where we explore mental health topics that help you feel your feelings and feel a little less alone. We're so happy you're here. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to It's Okay to Feel. My name is Known Wells. I am a human person, and I'm here with another possibly human person, Jennifer Lynn. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
I am Known. You are Jennifer.
Hello, I am Jennifer.
We are robots. welcome to
Hello.
It's Okay to Feel.
We're dorky.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really feeling it this morning. Today we're talking about looking in so we can look out. This is the pre-chat session before our interview with the national best-selling author, Jen Pasteloff, who wrote the book On Being Human. It's wonderful. She also has a podcast called What Are You Bringing? She is a gem of a human. And
he really is.
Really can't wait to share. Let's just get into that. Let's just screw this pre-interview. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But Jen is great. Jen is wonderful. You're going to love it. But today, let's get into our sort of personal relationship with looking in so we can look out.
What does that look like for you?
What that looks like for me is it's about, we mentioned it in the episode, the interview with Jen, is it's about curiosity. It's about looking at my heart. It's about taking the time to explore, what is it I need? What is it that fills my heart? What is it that, you know, lights me up? Also, what is it that depletes me, right? It's about like just exploring self, and it's about self-awareness, and it's also about self-acceptance. It's also, I think, a very important part of it, the underlining, is being okay with some discomfort, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fun word, deplete. It just sounds like a fun word.
Deplete. Yeah.
Deplete.
Yeah. Anyways. I put a couple of depletes on my pants. Deplete. I don't know. That's dumb. A real dub.
We're doing real good today. No, but this interview is so good. I have a girl crush on Jen, and I'm so glad that she said yes to be on the podcast. She is such an amazing, generous, honest, vulnerable human being, and I incredibly appreciate that about her.
Yeah, she puts herself out there, and it is wonderful. And so looking in, what does that mean for you, Jennifer?
Well, it means I have a window in my heart.
Ooh, I like that.
And I use my NPR voice.
I was going to say a sultry NPR voice.
Well, I'm going to be on NPR one day, so I have to practice.
Oh, I love that optimism.
I keep saying it. I don't know what I'm going to be on it for, but I just really want to be on it.
You get it, girl.
I will. I know we don't like the word balance in this podcast, but I don't mind the word balance. Kind of feels like a teeter totter, and I kind of feel like sometimes I'm standing on both sides of the teeter totter, mm-hmm. like trying to balance. Yeah.
Goes back and forth.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Because there's like chocolate chip cookies on one side and there's like peanut butter cookies on the other. And I kind of want both. And so you have to balance in order not to spill the tea, obviously. But
your life is ruled by cookies.
It really is ruled
like,
by cookies.
Like, do you have a cookie overlord just sitting behind you saying, you will talk
I
about cookies today?
I am the cookie overlord.
Oh, there you are. We're talking to the cookie overlord today, people.
Hey, I'm the cookie overlord. Call in with your questions.
1-800-COOKIES-RS. I don't know.
That's too many numbers. It's just, anyways, no, but it kind of does feel like a teeter totter. Like helping others is on one side, and like the rest of my life is on the other, kind of like how to balance like being a present mother and being a present wife and being a present human being, because that's still separate from like those two. And but still having this yearning that I need to like not even need, like, well, it is need. Like, I need to help other people. Like, I don't know. I need to bring more happiness to the world, whether that's like a doodle or.
Why? Why do you need to do that?
I think because I was unhappy for so long and I was just such a miserable human that I don't know. Like, I woke up and I not as I want to help other people wake up, but I want to help others. I don't know. I really feel like there's a huge impact with just saying honest. Usually it's like honest, negative with a positive spin words. Like I don't know. I feel like people could use encouragement, and there's really easy ways to do that with through a text or through a doodle or through saying hello. And I don't know. I feel like that's really important. I feel like I didn't have a lot of that enough, maybe because I shut people out when I was really depressed and unhappy and angry, but that's, I don't know. That's my goal.
I think it's beautiful. And what I really like about it is that you had the experience of feeling the opposite, right? Like you know what that feels like, and it doesn't feel good. And so you're like, let's go to the opposite end. This does feel good. And so you're like, you're taking this lived experience and saying like, look, I know it can be hard in the muck, and it can be, and it's sometimes we're there and that's okay. But like, I am going to like share this piece of myself that's hopeful and inspiring and positive. It doesn't mean it's all of myself, but I know for myself personally, it's a thing that makes the day a little bit brighter when it's hard.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I agree. Like I don't know how I would be if I was as depressed as I was previously.
Yeah.
Because that's really bad. But it's really important to try and like, it's really important for me, and I think for other people too, to try and find some good things every day. And I try to, whether my doodle or, I mean, I know I talk about, I pretty much this whole podcast is birds and cookies, but like, it's really important to find those few things. And whether that's something encouraging you say, or Jen says, or I say, or someone else says, or finding flowers on your walk to the bus stop or whatnot, like it's important. Like, that is life. All this other crap is part of life, but like, those little good things are life. Like, that is why we're here. So
I think, you know, it's funny because like, I think sometimes someone could hear you saying that and be like, well, it's not all positive all the time. Like,
it's never positive. No,
I just wanted to clarify, you know, I know that's not what you're saying, but
okay,
like,
yeah. I'm the cliche that I hate. Oh,
no, you're not. Yeah. You're absolutely not. But I wanted to make it clear to the listeners that like, there is this toxic positivity that exists in the world. And that's not what Jennifer is talking about. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being mindful of all of it, right? And understanding that like, us humans are these, I keep using the word tapestry, but we are like...
Wait, have you used that word today at all? I have not heard that word.
Well, on this podcast I have, but we are the teeter-totters, right? We do go back and forth. We do change, and sometimes we're down and sometimes we're up. And, you know, it does help sometimes to focus on these little bright joys, but that doesn't mean it's to ignore the other stuff.
No, never. Yeah. And the last thing I would want to come off is like the books, like the reason I do what I do is because I felt like when I was looking for help, the only books I could find, like I would ask booksellers and they'd be like, oh, this book, it's like, we have balloons, everything's going to be okay. And the sun is shining. And I'm like, shut up. Like, it's not shining. It's very rainy. Yeah. So yeah, that's why I don't want to be cliche.
Do you get a self-esteem boost when you share something that's like, you know, self-affirming and people respond to it positively?
You know, what's funny is a lot of, yes, it was really bad. That was that's the downside of being attached to a computer all the time, is like, it's so easy to get wrapped up in that. And yes, I'm not going to say like that doesn't matter to me, but at the same time, that's why it's been so easy to disconnect from it. Like, I haven't been posting if you check on my Instagram, and like, this isn't all I do. Like, I have a business and a family to feed, but like, it's very easy to disconnect from it because it was too easy to fall into my happiness and how I'm helping people is revolved around how many people liked this or wrote this. But I will say it does, like last night, someone commented on an old post about like trying to raise her kiddos with like books with a variety of nationalities and characters. And like the book I, you know, shared in the midst of a post, inspired her to look for some other books and like stuff like that was like, I helped someone like that. I really helped someone in that way. And then what I did post, people said I needed to hear that. And I'm trying not to let that like feed me more than like, okay, like I don't spend so much time posting the things and hope that it gets to the people it needs to get to. Did that make any sense at all? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that, and that's, I bring that up because that's where the imbalance can happen sometimes with people like us who do want to serve and who do want to put their hearts out there and do care deeply about humanity. And it's such a gift. It's such a beautiful thing, but it can be dangerous, right? It can be a thing where it becomes this like...
It's like an obsession.
It can become an obsession, right? It can become like too closely connected to our self-esteem. And I, for me, like I've had to like, you know, create some boundaries around that and say like, look, I'm proud of whatever I'm doing. I'm loving what I'm doing. And if people like it, great. Like if people see it, you know, wonderful, but ultimately the where I'm trying to end up is like, I'm just proud of putting the thing out there and however it's met, wonderful. Right.
Yeah. That's hard to do, especially in this social media age. And I can't, again, I say this all the time in this podcast, like I can't imagine being younger than this age when this is all so popular, because that's one more way to either raise or lower your self-esteem. And it's so unhealthy, like to raise or lower your self-esteem based on a computer, like based on people that you might not even know, like clicking, like they might've just been swiping and click something, like it shouldn't, I don't know.
Right.
It's detrimental to my brain.
Yeah. And it's such a powerful force, you know, that those clicks and those likes and, you know, those comments and whatnot. And, you know, for the younger people listening, you know, it can be a like, you know, those clicks, those likes, those comments can be a force for good. They can be like a reminder to you that like, hey, you are making a difference. But it's just about like, I think just having the right mindset about it, like, you know, not putting too much weight on that and really like pulling back, you know, like going to the, like the bird's eye view of like, okay, why am I here? Like, why am I ultimately wanting to share this thing, right? Is it because I want that self-esteem boost? You know, then if that's the case, like maybe you do need to like question why you're doing it, right? Like, what is it, the reason? Do you want to serve people? Do you want to like help people feel more comfortable in their mental health journeys? Like that's a beautiful thing. Focus on that piece of it. Focus on like the pulled back why piece of it.
So what's coming up for me, and it's not necessarily related to what we're quote unquote supposed to be talking about, but
birds and cookies.
Yeah. Duh. All the time. But that's the name of my next podcast, Birds and Cookies. Tune in at 9. But
only on NPR.
Only on NPR. Invite me now, please. Loneliness. It's really hard, especially I can't imagine being one of the people living by themselves or even without a kid, because he takes up so much of my brain energy. Like I can't imagine having even more time to think about everything.
Yeah.
But it's hard because as I'm like a weird introvert who like still wants connection to people, but not necessarily in person, because that's more draining for me. And it's hard not to go back to scroll, to like, to find something on the internet to distract you because you feel so lonely. Like, and then when people write back to you, like, you're like, oh, I exist. And like, I don't know. I don't know where that thought was going, but when you were saying that, I was thinking about loneliness.
Yeah, no, that's a piece of it for sure. And, you know, I think the aim of like looking in so we can look out is ultimately about knowing ourselves. It's about accepting ourselves and loving ourselves. And that journey, as we talked about with Jen, it's about curiosity. It's also about, like I said, a willingness to be uncomfortable. It's about adventure. It's about exploration. It's about asking questions.
I think it's also about taking a shift. Like she did, she talked about like what you need for you might not be what other people need from you.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you bother people if you're not taking care of yourself. It's like for like distancing yourself from the things that are creating the hardness. That's not a word.
The hardness?
That's the hard. The hardness.
The hardness. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's totally true. You know, so we hear this like this, I'm sure, and maybe you haven't heard it, but you can't pour from an empty glass, right?
Yes.
This idea. And it's so true. Like when we are depleting, right, ourselves, you know, when we are
what a
like,
great word.
When we are like just going to the point of burnout and going to the point of whatever, we're just doing everything and all the things because that's what brings us joy. And that's a wonderful thing, but it'll get to a point where you just, it'll start to not be authentic. And you may even find yourself resenting it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, it's my nightmare to think like I would like be resentful of these passions I have, right? But that's a realistic place to go if I continually put myself out there and only focus on the external and not come back to me.
No, you know? That's such a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious for you, like, what do you've talked about like, you know, cookies and birds and tea and like having those moments where you're, you know, I have an hour, I'm going to sit with my cookies and tea or whatever.
Oh gosh, beautiful. I wish I had an hour to sit with my cookies and tea. It's like 5 minutes.
Or whatever. Lucky. Like, what are some other things that when you hear the word, I'm taking care of myself first, like what comes to mind for you?
I know I'm like a broken record, but like we just got this new house and it has a porch and the birds are really active in the morning and it's Florida's really hot. I mean, really hot. So, like, but in the
don't
morning,
move it's, to Florida, you guys.
Yeah. Don't come here unless you move to my area. Cause we're surrounded by water. So it's really lovely. And, anyways, but, so this morning I did it, like literally did self-care. Like the baby was content being independent. And instead of cleaning the kitchen, which I should have been doing, I like stood outside. It was chilly. Like I needed a sweater and I like different, these cardinals come to our tree every morning, like this husband and wife cardinal. And I watch them. Like, I'm just like, all right, well, responsibility wise, whatever. I should be a responsible adult and go clean my kitchen because it's disgusting. But instead I'm like, no, I should stand out here in the chilly weather with the breeze and look at these birds. Nature's really big for me. And I love that I think most kids are nature kids. Like I think they're just born curious. They don't necessarily know what ants are and what, you know, what everything is. And getting outside is so good for my mental state. And when I have like before the baby, it's very hard to do that. Like I had to force myself out of the house at like when I woke up or I wouldn't leave. And then I would just get too depressed or like anxious to leave. Even though I know it will make me feel better, I couldn't do it. Like, I don't know. The force was with me in the wrong way. But
yeah, I love that.
So that's big for me.
Yeah. No, and I like, it's funny that you said should, because Jen Pasteloff, our interview for this episode, she says, don't should on yourself.
Yes. No, right. It's so true.
And like, there is this thing, people listening, that where we tell ourselves, sometimes consciously, sometimes not, that like, I should be doing this, I should mm-hmm. be doing that.
That's why there's quotes around it, but no one can see that because this is a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, we are the only ones who can tell ourselves like what we should be doing, not anyone else, not culture, not other people, not parents. It's, you know yourself best. And Jennifer is saying like, hey, I know myself best. I'm going to like refill my cup a little bit by being out here on the porch, you know, before the disgusting heat of Florida consumes me, and listening to these birds.
Yeah. How about you? What is your not shoulds?
Yeah. I was thinking about this because I have had moments where I've given of myself too much, to the point where I have resented it, you know, and I hate that feeling. And so I've had to be really intentional about that the last year or so. And so what that looks like for me is definitely nature, for sure. You know, definitely, as Jen said in our interview, putting my phone aside, you know, not feeling like it's this appendage, right? Definitely reminding myself that I can't do everything, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Right? And it's so wonderful and so beautiful. I get so many messages from people, you know, commenting on the podcast or Feely Human, and I'm so grateful every time. And I feel like I have to respond right away, right? Or I have to say yes all the time, you know, and all these things. And I don't. And if I do, it's just gonna hurt me. So I have to remind myself that like, I can be gentle, I could still be loving and grateful, but also say no. And also say, hey, you know what? I'm not a therapist. You know, I don't think I'm responsible, or I don't feel good about helping you out in this way right now, but here are some resources, for example, right? Like that happens from time to time. And I there was a time where I felt bad about that, but really it's setting both of ourselves up for more success. It's allowing me to take time for myself and to recharge, and to understand the limits of my heart and my energy. And it's also guiding people in, you know, other directions, or maybe showing them what a boundary could look like, you know.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Now you have so much more time for bird watching, Noan.
I couldn't care less about birds.
How are we friends?
I'm just kidding. I like birds. I love all animals. I'm an animal person.
Mm-hmm. That's what he says as he's shaking his head. No, he's not really.
Here, let me hold on. I have to take a bite out of this crow's head. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Oh my God, I'm not so eating weird. Crow. literally or figuratively. Okay. So what else do we want to say about looking inward?
I think
it's not selfish. It's essential. We have to.
I thought you said a different word and I got really confused.
It's essential. It's important. It's imperative. It's required.
And I also want to say, like, there's a lot of ways to be generous and helpful. And like, I think often the word generous is always tied to money. And that's good too. But I think there's ways to be generous with our time and our resources and our, kindness that isn't always tied to money.
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we, yeah, exactly. Like we can, I think sometimes where we stumble as humans is like the comparing game, right? Like we're like, oh, these people are helping in this way, and that means I need to be helping in this way. I should, right? We're shooting on ourselves.
I suck if I'm not doing all of these things that these other people are doing.
But the reality is, the more we look inward and like just figuring out ourselves, the more we realize, okay, oh, this is the way that best makes sense for me to help, because I know mm-hmm. myself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, you guys are going to love our chat with Jen Pasteloff. She is a wonderful human, feely human, that is. And can't wait to have you listen. But before we get to that, just wanted to remind you all that mental health is important, and you're important, and we love you. And this podcast, It's Okay to Feel, is for informational, educational, and or entertainment purposes only, and is not a substitute for medical or psychiatric advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The TLDR on that is that we are not therapists. We are silly billies who like cookies and birds and swampy porches.
Swampy porches? What is a swampy porch?
I don't know. I was just thinking of a Florida porch.
It looks just like your porch, I think.
Nope. It's full you of have swamps grass. And gators. We swampy have porches.
You're crazy.
We don't have grass. I would never want grass. Grass is the worst.
But without grass, you can't have the flowers that grow from the weeds, and those are my favorite.
We have flowers. We have flowers.
All right, I don't believe you. I'll have to go see these flowers one day.
So we have another thing to say.
Yes, we do. I was going, well, first, what's TLDR?
Too long, didn't read. It's basically saying it's basically like a...
But we're verbal.
Abbreviated version of a thing. So you see...
But they didn't read what you said. They listened.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's fair. But, you know, we have young people listening. They know what TLDR means.
I'm not a young people. I'm sorry, everybody. You're an old fart. I am. It's Okay to Feel is funded by the Orange County Healthcare Agency, OCHCA, Behavioral Health Services, Coronavirus Aid Relief, and Economic Securities Act, which is the CARES Act, which basically means we are super grateful that this podcast exists because of their help. Before we sign off, do you want to tell people where to find you, harass you, send you cookies?
Sure. You can send me virtual cookies on Instagram at YumiEmpathy is my podcast, and at Feely Human is the Feely Human Collective. FeelyHuman.co is my mental health community. Join the community. Join my newsletter. Sign up for my free workshop, Feely Human 101. Also on Facebook, and again, my podcast is Yumi Empathy. You can find it anywheres. How about you, Jennifer?
Podcasts aren't sold.
Yes, exactly.
You can find me online. I'm Jennifer Lynn, JennifrLynn. So it's just Jennifer Lynn on Instagram, jenniferlynn.com. I do have a mental health podcast called Rainy Day Diaries. So on Instagram, it's Rainy Day Diaries Pod. And there are 50 beautiful, wonderful episodes up, but it is on a coronavirus hiatus.
Lovely. And you can find this podcast everywhere. And the show notes are at namioc.org. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you. And hey, remember that your feelings are valid. Your feelings are guideposts on your journey. And it's always okay to be. Welcome to It's Okay to Feel, a NAMI OC podcast. My name is Known Wells. I am one of the co-hosts, and I'm here with Jennifer Lynn, my other co-host. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, I'm the other co-host, the more fun one.
That is true. I am just a wet blanket, but also a silly boy. And today we have dear friend, wonderful guest, author, new podcaster, mom, yoga person, workshop leader,
empowering world, human,
world renowned human, Jen Pasteloff. Hello, Jen.
Hello. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah. So happy to have you here, friend.
You won the award for the longest intro human thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's usually
I was sipping coffee, person. So I'm grateful because I just woke up. So I was like, take your time.
Well, Jen, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Cool. Yeah. My name is Jen Pasteloff. I am the author of the national bestseller On Being Human. And I am a professional connector and heart magician. Someone recently, an author named PSA Layman, who I love, called me a heart magician, and I borrowed it. I'm a weirdo. I'm a coffee addict. I'm a mom. I practice no bullshit motherhood and real motherfucking life. I'm profoundly hard of hearing. I'm deaf without my hearing aids. I read lips. So, you know, masks in living in a masked world is real hard. And I don't know. I'm someone who just tries to be better than she was the day before.
It's a good strategy. I like that. Yeah. Life is weird and hard right now, and I'm so grateful to have this time with you, Jen, to, I don't know, ground ourselves in some feelings and some of that beauty.
Thanks. I don't know why I thought you were like, life is light, and I was like, oh no, is he gonna say life is like a box of chocolates?
I don't
him with
I've
another
ever
Tom Hanks quote. All he does is do Tom Hanks quotes.
Yeah, those are the only quotes I know. Yeah. Today, I want to explore this idea of looking inward so we can look outward. And I want to start with talking about people pleasing, because this is something that is very close to my heart. And by that, I mean I'm a recovering people pleaser. I grew up basically just adopting this thing, which is I got to people please. I got to make sure everything and everyone around me is happy and content. And I shouldn't rock the boat too much, right?
Right.
When you, Jen, hear that word people pleaser, what comes to mind? How does it make you feel?
I'm pondering. I too am recovering people pleaser. I didn't necessarily grow up in that same, you know, never rock the boat kind of environment, but I realize you know, always wanting people to like me and not wanting to deal with confrontation ever and not wanting to disappoint. It's I don't know how I feel when you say it. It makes me uncomfortable, the word people pleasing, because I really, really, really want to, of course, we never want to disappoint people. I don't.
Yeah.
But I really, I absolutely don't want to be a people pleaser, because that, you know, when you're a people pleaser, then you're always putting other people before yourself. And I can't live that way anymore. It's tricky because of the nature of what I do in the world, which is weird. It's hard to define, and I have this really intimate relationship with a lot of people, and I'm known as this listener, and you know, I call myself the embodiment of I got you. And so there's a lot of people that want to be my friend or that need something from me that I cannot give. And you know, I know sometimes there's like, well, you said you're the I got you person, and you said, you know, you're the connector, and you're, but I'm also only human and I'm also only one person. Yeah. And the way that I offer my love and my, if you want to call it, my services and myself is through the work I do, not necessarily through being everyone's personal friend, you know?
Yeah.
That made me feel so heavy as you were describing that. Like,
what did you say?
It made me feel so heavy. Like, everyone's relying on me.
Yeah.
Like, that It feels like a bunch of books on my head.
It's hard. I've gotten a lot better out of it in the last decade. You know, I do these really intimate workshops, and so people, you know, they get really close to me, or they think they are. But the truth of it is that what I'm good at is creating a container, and what I'm good at is helping them find their community and discover things that are in them. And so sometimes they confuse it and they think it's me, or they want more from me than I can give. And and I used to try more and like really worry more if everyone's having a good time and loving it and likes me and everyone's happy, and I don't anymore. And that is, I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of, and one of the greatest gifts that's come with doing this for a long time and getting older, is I no longer feel that, yeah, of course you want people to have a good time and be happy, but I don't feel that it's all on me anymore.
Yeah, it's not directly connected to your own self acceptance and awareness and care and pride in yourself. Yeah. So looking at you, Jen, as, you know, like the sort of public perception of you is someone who is so generous with your heart and time. And yeah, I can see how that could be.
And I am.
You are. You 100% are.
And there's a caveat, right?
There's the caveat. Like, yeah, you can't do that all the time to everyone. Like, we need to find the balance, right?
Well, yeah. And what does that mean? You know, I'm actually just writing that down. What does that mean to be generous? You know, it doesn't... I can't say yes to every single person that sends me a GoFundMe. And I do. I get them every single day. My heart breaks. Yeah. I just talked about this on my podcast with Elizabeth Gilbert. You know, it's just because she's also someone who gets asked a lot. So you find your way of being generous, right?
Yeah. 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 It's because it's like you're setting a precedent, right? You're like,
yes,
this is
exactly
the expectation of Jen Pasteloff. Yep. Like, this is who I am. And then when you change people see it as like a change, right? But you're really just honoring yourself, right? You're honoring your care.
You're hitting the nail on the head with that. I've been talking to my clients about that. It's, you know, we all know that we have agreements with people, and when one person changes, it's like, how dare you do that? And I have changed, and I have made mistakes earlier on, or even on a regular basis, where I allow myself to be too accessible, or I don't have boundaries with someone, and then I wake up and remember I need them, and they get upset. But absolutely, finding that balance.
Yeah,
I'm actually curious. I know you do a lot. You're very generous, but you do a lot in a lot of avenues. You like try to help people who need groceries, or sharing other people's GoFundMes, or in so many different ways. But I'm curious, especially as a mom, like it's very hard for me to turn off the mom brain for a moment and like focus on the mundane tasks of life. And then to keep I try to check on people I love, like friends, and send people encouragement throughout the day. But I'm curious I don't know how to ask this question. Like, how you manipulate, how does your brain work? Like, I have trouble, like if they're not in my bubble all the time, like I sometimes forget about you. Like,
I think I'm going to give a really honest answer that I've never said before in a really in a public way. And it's something that I think about a lot. And I actually emailed my doctor a couple months ago, and I said, I think I need ADD meds, but I'm pretty sure I have severe ADD, and I function in chaos, which is something that I'm working on not doing so well, if that makes sense. Like, I can't take it anymore. I know I function in chaos, and it's not healthy. And just because that's the way it's been, I don't need to keep on. But I'm able to, do it pretty easily. But the downside of that, Jennifer Lynn, is that I'm not fully giving my son 100%. My phone's in my hand all the time, and so it's something I'm not proud of. And so when you say that, it's like, well, there's compromises and there's sacrifices. And last night, laying in bed, my son said something, and I don't know exactly what he said, but he said something like, "Mommy, you talk something like you don't have time to play with me because you're always talking to your friends, something. Mm. And I don't know if that's what he said, but that's what I heard. And I thought, oh my God. Okay. So, there's your answer.
Hmm.
And that is why lately I've started hiring people, you know, to delegate. And I've started, you know, really like, okay, I'm not going to sleep with my cell phone in the bedroom, so it's not the first thing I look at in the morning. And okay, this is my time with Charlie. Just getting really clear on those boundaries that Noan brought up.
Yeah.
So that I'm not letting, you know, trying to help everyone else and be everyone's friend and be this person interfere with my son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's both are really hard. So the fact that you're even just moving yourself in out of your room, like that's an amazing accomplishment. I started doing that too, and give yourself grace. And habits take like, what is it? 21 days. So
yeah. And I failed last night.
It's not failing. It's just, you're starting again today.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I really do better, and I know it's going to happen. And the first thing I did this morning is I look at my phone, and then I laid there for about 45 minutes in bed looking at it. And I knew going to bed, I go, put it in the other room. We know ourselves.
Oh, but, yeah. It's yeah. You're right. I still put it in the other room, and that's still the first thing I look at. I'm just like, before I get him his milk, I'm just like, put it down. Like, that's why it's in the other room.
You still have to get out of the bed and walk over there. There's still like, you know, this is almost like an unconscious thing when it's right there by your head, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's not failing, but I know better. That's all. It's just that I know better, and I know myself. And being honest with ourselves, well, at least for me, being honest with myself is always the hardest thing.
It is, for sure.
It is. It's like, I know.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do. So get up and go put it in the living room.
I'll remind you later.
Thank you.
Hopefully you won't see it because it will be in the living room already.
Exactly.
I think that's so beautiful, Jen. And thank you for being vulnerable about that, because it's something I think we can all relate to, right? Especially us three, right? We are people who want to serve, right? Who want to just put ourselves out there, make an impact, you know, heart-wise, change hearts and minds. Like, these are the types of people we are. But as I'm learning as a, you know, almost 40-year-old person, I need to step back from time to time. I need to understand, like, is this impacting my relationship, right? Like, I'm putting all this good out into the world, but what about in my own house, right? What about in my own heart? Right. And that's a balance that I struggle with every day.
Well, I think one thing I learned, it's funny, I don't really have a sense of time. I can't even remember when it was known that you were over and I made you soup with too much ginger. It's like, was that 800 years ago? Was that last week? I
mean, when is what?
Right. When is what? That's a good, when is what? It was pre-pandemic. But, oh my gosh, I must need another cup of coffee, because I just was like, where I was, had this whole thing to say. Oh my God. Good morning, everyone. Welcome
Good
to
morning.
The brain of Jennifer Pasteloff. Oh, yeah, I know it. I thank you. I know. So I was going to say something about the early pandemic, and I segued with that when you were over, and I lost my thought. So early in the pandemic, I was asking myself and the world, how can I serve? And I didn't have a thought in my mind when I posted this of what the end result would look like or what I was doing, but I posted on my Instagram, do you have enough food to eat? Maybe it was March. And the reason I posted that wasn't because I thought I would be able to feed everyone, but because I knew this community I'd cultivated and created over these years that they would. And that's exactly what happened. People were writing, no, I don't. And I can't afford, you know, I lost my job. And then others were jumping in. And then to make a long story short, I ended up creating this thing. I called it On Being Human 2020, like my book and the year, to help. Oh, thank you, baby. Oh, Charlie just brought me the cup of coffee that was as big as himself. Thank God he didn't spill it.
Beautiful boy.
Creating this. I love you, my love. Creating this thing to help people get booed. And so basically I spoke with celebrities and non-celebrities and everyone on my Instagram Live to get people to donate. And then we gave people $100 cash grants or cards to get food. Now, it was beautiful. And it was really, and we fed people. And I mean, literally and metaphorically and all of it, yeah. Because we fed people, but also like you and the people watching were fed by these really inspiring, raw chats.
Yeah.
But what happened, what I realized was that I was using it also as a way to hide and to distract myself and to avoid not dealing with my own life, because my life fell apart. My income all went because every single thing I did was made from in-person and live events, everything. And, you know, I didn't want to like, oh my God, what do I do next? So I just kept diving in, which is beautiful. But at some point I woke up in June and I was like, okay, well, I have no money and what am I going to do? And, you know, so yes, again, that balance, finding that balance of that. And when I was raising that money, and I'm so proud of what I did, but like I neglected everything.
Yeah.
When you were doing those, I was like, oh my gosh, these are so amazing, inspiring. And then at the same time, I was like, there's so many of them. You have to be so tired.
I was so tired. I don't know how. And I really, but in a way, I mean, it saved me. I was so depressed and it saved me. And I could have kept going and going and going. And in a way, I'm glad that I didn't, because I wouldn't have reinvented myself in the way that I have, because I really was like, well, now I'm focused on this and that's all that matters. And it is, but also it isn't. I also had a, it's like, okay, well, how am I going to feed my family? And like, what about what's next for me? You know, I mean, my unemployment, I got $70 a week or something, you know? So it is. It's all a balance. And often I think balance, the word balance is a myth. I laugh at it because I'm not the best at it. So don't ask me. But I try to come as close as I can do it for what it looks like for Jen Pasteloff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I recently had a conversation with someone on Yumi Empathy, and he said, his name's Jason Garner. He said, he's like, I don't like the word balance. He said, I like the word flow.
Ooh, I like this person, Jason. Yeah, that's why I said I think balance is a myth. I said I sort of feel the same flow, because what's balance for me isn't balance for you or Jennifer Lynn, or maybe it is, but it's like right now I'm on my second cup of huge coffee. That's balance for me today, you know.
Yeah. What's so interesting about this is, you know, our like we can. It almost becomes like it's a passion, right? We want to serve. We want to help. Like it's in our hearts. It's in our makeup. It's in our DNA. And yet it can become this distraction, right? From the things that we need to do, which is take a pause, take moments of silence, take moments of grace with ourselves, with our families. And, you know, I know I've been caught in moments of like, do my thing, right? And, it gets to a point where it's like a distraction, right? So it is about that flow. It is about like finding the time for that, finding the time for me, right? All that stuff.
It also comes out to like a lot of guilt feeling. Like I feel like I'm like, I didn't post what I needed to post. Like I not even like buy these stickers. It's just like, I like sending reminders out that like, you got this, like that's my phrase, like, or something else positive. But at the same time, I'm like, well, now he's watched too much Peppa Pig. And now I feel guilty because I wanted to encourage other people. And now my kid has watched like 5 hours of Peppa Pig. And now I'm a bad mom. And you know, he's having my crackers love, for dinner again.
5 hours of Peppa Pig, I would trade you anything. My son plays 5 hours of these ridiculous video games, and I feel like the worst mom in the world.
He's a lot older than mine, though.
Peppa Pig, I would be like, it's educational. They have British accents. It's cute. He learns shit on Peppa Pig. My son is like, his brain is rotting because he's playing these, you know, Mario Brothers. So, I don't have time for guilt anymore. I'm older than both of you, and I'm just worn out.
But not by that much.
Yeah. I'm 45, so you're only, how old are you, Jen?
Yes.
Guess?
Yeah.
35?
Oh, you were so close. 36.
Okay. So I'm exactly right. I'm older than both of you. And I don't know. 40 was a real turning point for me. So get excited.
I am excited because, I mean, I'm like, 30 was great. 35 was even better. I'm
30
like,
was such for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. 35, the 20s and the early years were horrible. So I'm like, I'm a unicorn this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay not to be sorry because I'm not going back. It's done. But 40, I think it's important to remind younger people because I had so much anxiety. You know, I live in Los Angeles and for a long time I was pretending to be an actress and it was like, you know, you might as well be dead at 40. And so I had so much fear. And also my dad died at 38 around aging. And I'll tell you, I like looked and felt and all of it, my best at 40. And but I don't have time for guilt anymore. So I'm like, nah, I do what I can do. And that's that. And yes, it can be a distraction. It is in my DNA, and I think it is in some people. I think it's not in some people's DNA. Let's not talk politics, but it's not in everyone's DNA. It is in my DNA, and yeah. I would spend all time, you know, I would forego my own house to help other people, and I have to be careful about that. But it's I wish it was in everyone's DNA.
Yeah, I want to break down this idea of the reason why we need to take care of ourselves first before we can take care of others. Because I think it's a concept that at times has been called, right, selfish even, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's misguided. So for you, Jen, why do you specifically need to take care of yourself before you can properly take care of others?
For me specifically, it's because I do give so much and like of myself, my voice, my, you know, my body, my personality, all of it. It's like constant, constant, constant. And I always want it to be true and real and authentic. And so if I'm not taking care and I'm look in the summer when I was going through, I was really depressed because, pandemic, lost all my work, you know, there's all that. And then mistakenly, I had dropped down on my antidepressants. I thought I was going to switch because I was feeling a bit dead inside. I felt meh, M-E-H. And so I emailed my doctor and he's like, okay, we could switch. Let's drop down on your Prozac in the meantime. So I dropped down to 20 milligrams instead of 40. And I was like, I feel great. I'm staying here. And then unfortunately, once, you know, I don't know if you remember this or have ever been through this, but when you're in that pit, you don't realize how bad it is until you're not there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really good at what I do. So I was able to still show up and do my workshop. And so the people in the audience or in the room or whatever it is, they don't know, but I know. So it's about me, how I'm feeling, you know. Right. So having said that, why it's important to take care of me first is because, again, otherwise I'm putting everyone before me. So it's like, yes, they all got their money's worth. They all were like, that's amazing. This was transformative. This was beautiful. And meanwhile, I feel like I want to die.
Yeah.
And then it's also because of burnout. I've gone through so many periods. I remember last year around October, I just go, go, go. And everything was travel, travel, travel. And I mean, it was nonstop. And I led a retreat in Italy. Before Italy, I was on the East Coast. I did a whole book tour. I flew to Italy from New York. I flew home from Italy on a Sunday after a retreat. I had been gone already for weeks and weeks. For one day, I flew home to Los Angeles to see my son for like less than 24 hours. And then I got back on a plane to go to Philadelphia to do a workshop with Liz Gilbert. And I did it. And after the workshop, I was vomiting and I was so sick and it was dehydration. And it was really just that pure go without taking care of myself. And my body just gave out.
Yeah.
And it's happened to me a lot. Because I deplete myself to such a point that eventually I just give out or burn out, whatever you want to call it. So in order to avoid that, we absolutely have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you? Like, what is your version of self-care?
My version of self-care is one of the things is putting the phone in the other room so that I start the morning in silence and with my 5 minutes of my body prayer, which is something I made up. And right now, my version of self-care is not drinking. My version of self-care is hydrating. It's something I get really shitty with sometimes. And as she sips water.
Whenever one of you talk about water or drink water, I make sure I drink water too, because I'm usually dehydrated.
It's great. It's a real issue with me. And I drink a lot of water when I'm exercising, and I'm not really exercising right now. Speaking of exercising, that's my version of self-care, something, moving my body. And it's something I haven't been doing because we live in a small apartment and the gym is closed and whatever excuse there is. It's also something that I need to get better at, but it's putting the phone down, you know, like for periods of time.
Yeah.
So that it's not like an appendage,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's also saying no.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Liz Gilbert said something on the podcast, on our podcast. There was two because it was really long, so we split it up. But the first part was about saying no. And she said, I say no a lot, but when I say yes, it's such a joyous yes. And it's, you know, it's a full bodied yes. And that's why I said yes to you. You know, I'm like, I say no all the time now.
Well, thank you saying yes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but this is all I'm doing today, like quote unquote work wise. This is it. And, you know, by 10 in the morning, I'll be done. And that's it. And that's self-care for me. And everything else was no, no. Mm.
I love the full bodied yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're choosing for you. You're choosing your because it almost becomes, it's like a diluted, watered down yes. If you're saying yes all the time, it's like your energy, it's all split and spread apart. And yeah,
and
I love that.
And you're saying yes because you don't want to disappoint the other person. You don't want them to not like you.
Saying yes for the wrong reasons. Yeah.
It's like really pause. I love that. I pause with something. And I think I did that with you. I took a minute to get back to you because I was pausing and I was really looking. And then I'm like, okay, this is when I can do it. And yes. And I've just, it's been a really miraculous thing. But just saying no more.
I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, when I think about the idea of looking in before I look out, like for me, that has been something like reminding myself that I'm not going to be able to fully, like the thing that I love doing most in the world is my podcast and Feely Human and reaching people in that way. But it's not going to be my fullest, most charged, like heart leading self unless I rest, right? Unless I say no, unless I do these things. And I just want to bring this to the audience, the listeners now, because a lot of you listening are people like Jen and Jennifer and me who love to serve and love to be out there. You're Enneagram type twos, you're helpers, but taking care of yourself is honoring and is the fuel that's going to make you even better at those passions that you love so much.
And please don't keep going. Like, I feel like when I was in my teens and early 20s, you feel like you're so old already and you just want to keep going and going. And there's so many milestones to hit and like goals to hit. And like, and then you will wake up burnt out. Like, I was raised in the family where you don't sleep. Like, you just keep, like, you have multiple jobs. And then I worked on my business when I wasn't working at my jobs. And like, it's ridiculous. Like, you have so much time. If, you know, it's good. Rest.
Yeah, I think rest, you know, there's a book. It's usually right by my bedside called Why We Sleep. It's a New York Times bestseller and it's all about how important sleep is, but rest is key. And I, don't F with my sleep. My sleep is really, really important to me and I'm getting a lot more, fierce around it because I can feel, in my book, I call it the inner asshole, but I feel like the other day it was 2 days ago. When I'm so tired, the IA rears its head. I feel I'm way more sensitive. I take myself more seriously, you know, all these things. And it's like, I cannot not be rested. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been so tired lately, just doing so much. And I've been having to focus on like, just be intentional about like, I'm going to try to take a nap right now, or I am going to lay on the couch for 30 minutes. And, it's only going to get worse. Like I am younger than you, but I'm nearing 40, and I'm just getting more tired because I'm just doing a lot. You know?
I know. Well, and what's going on in the world? I mean, even just at the news and the election, and it's the anxiety around, you know, reading Twitter, like
turn it off.
It is. It's really important right now.
I mean, there's some self-care. Delete Twitter.
Yeah, you don't need to read it.
I know. I don't. It's a real masochistic. Yeah. Real
Are you looking at Twitter right now?
No, my best friend just sent me a text, and she's my podcast partner, and she's a character. She is a character, but yeah, no, I don't need Twitter. And it's so funny. Twitter, I suck at Twitter. I could literally be like, help, I'm dying. And no one would respond. Instagram, I'm a queen. I don't know what it is. I always look at Twitter as I see news and whatever, but like Twitter is not my jam.
Yeah.
I cannot. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I could be like, I'm giving away $1 million. No one would respond. I'm like, I'm always like, am I being hidden? Like, what? I cannot master this.
I want to talk a little bit about like the journey of going and caring for ourselves, and the curiosity that is required of that, you know, and because I find for me that being raised the way I was and being a people pleaser and stuff, it's taken work to take time to be curious about what is it I need in the first place, right? And that's taken a long time to unpack. Tell me a little bit about like that journey for you, Jen, just the curiosity piece of it, and like how you've navigated and sort of fostered curiosity in looking inward.
Well, curiosity is the best way to live to me. Just constantly be curious, right? And I think a lot of people, you know, when I leave my workshops and I ask people to write on a sticky note, what do they want in their life? What do they want to manifest? Whatever language they want to use. And a lot of people don't know and they get scared. And I say, well, it's okay. Ask for clarity. And it's okay. Then this becomes a journey of curiosity. It's a journey then about discovering what lights me up, what turns me on, what excites me, what do I like, what do I not like, what do I want? And if we begin, you know, to go through each day, really paying attention to how we feel, how does this make me feel? And there's such a disconnect, or there was for me for a long time, that I wasn't doing that. Also, as someone who's really self-aware, sometimes being self-aware doesn't mean shit, because it's like, you can know something, but if you're not doing anything about it, like what's the good of knowing it, right?
Yeah.
So then for me, it becomes about, what are you doing with the curiosity?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So it's like the words I end my book with, now what? So it's like, okay, I'm, wow, this is interesting. And then it's also about not judging. So just being a curious observer. So not being like, oh, I'm the worst person or whatever it is, just going, wow, that's interesting. Okay. And all of this is the work of a lifetime. It's an everyday practice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Have you ever read any Byron Katie, Jen?
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, what's funny is I was just listening to our second episode with Danae, uh-huh. and she talked about Byron Katie, but yeah. I was driving. So I'm like, okay, I have to look up who this is. And this is like 2 days later. Now we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, she wrote the book Loving What Is, right? And I've been reading it slowly, and I've been coming back to it because it's, for me, it's such a reminder to Jen's point. It's such a reminder to just, this is what is happening right now. Loving what is. Yeah. You know, this is what is happening right now, right? Being curious about that, understanding it, and what action can I take? Is there an action, right?
You I just know, wondered
understanding.
It.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I, here's that book, Why We Sleep.
Nice.
It's Matthew Walker, PhD. Yeah, loving what it is. And that's sometimes really tough. I mean, I feel like, I know who Byron Katie is, and I've read some of her, and I'm not as in, like Liz Gilbert knows a lot about her.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it. I still struggle. For example, let's use my hearing loss as an example. So I have a sense of humor about it, and it is what it is. And that doesn't mean that some days I don't get really, really frustrated and feel sorry for myself. And then I wake up and I begin again. And I think about my sister, you know, she's been sharing these really distraught videos. She's going through a really hard time. She's a severely disabled child and living in, it's just a mess. And it's really tough. And it's like, yeah, loving what is. And it's also really f-ing hard.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's not the everything is positive, right? It's being mindful of what is, and what is sometimes is hard and difficult and joyous, and simultaneously at the same time, it's beautiful and shitty and yeah, all of the things, right?
Exactly. I think it's really like a way to, to be able to sit in the bad, but still like 5 minutes later, still find something good. Like on the really bad days, be like, okay, well, at least there was these birds outside my window this morning.
I call it beauty hunting. It's beauty hunting.
I love that. Okay, that's much more eloquent than my whatever seesaw thing I said.
Well, it's a practice to stay curious and to be mindful. And it's just to stop wherever you are as often as you can and find 5 beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like even in the sorrow, even in the pain, even in the shitty days, even when your son is, you know, whatever my sister's going through. So, yeah, it's just a spiritual practice that helps me get my head out of my butt.
No heads and butts. We don't want that. unless you're into that, which is fine, which is great.
Ha,
Jen, I want to hear a little bit about your new podcast. Can you tell the listeners about it?
Sure. It's called What Are You Bringing? Or Wave.
Cookies.
What?
Cookies.
Perfect answer. What are you bringing? Or Wabe, W-A-B, what are you bringing? And it's me and my partner, Alicia Easter, otherwise known as Ace. Those are her initials. And it's your conversation with your two new best friends. And we'll make you laugh, cry, and pee just a little. And we talk everything, vulnerability, mental health, sex, love, racial justice. What are you bringing to, you know, we ask each guest, what are you bringing to the barbecue? That's the end question. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, what do you bring into life? What do you bring into the table? And it's just really a lot of levity, very deep at the same time, silly, fun, heavy. It's all the things. We have 5 episodes so far. We launched last week, but we dropped on the first day 3, and then yesterday we dropped 2. So
did you always want to start a podcast, or is this time of life like kind of perfect to do that?
It's a good question. I wanted to for a long time, and I was very stuck in I don't know how, which is a very a classic thing I do. And what I also do is, and I'm doing it anyway most of the time, but my friend Annie and I were going to, and then for 2 years we talked about it and we never did. And then Alicia and I, we kept making these videos. We're really close, but we got even closer during the pandemic. And we were like, we need to do a podcast. People love our energy together. We're just goofy and silly and joyful. And so we started talking about it and we did it. And it's just a really perfect time. She's a Black woman, and it just feels like it's the perfect time for what we're bringing
to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. No, I'm already a fan of the podcast. It's wonderful. And
have you listened?
Yes. I listened to the first episode.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's great. Listeners, make sure to subscribe to What Are You Bringing?
She's wonderful. And she's just really funny and loud. And like, we always have to test the mic. Our producer's like, do a laugh check. because we laugh test because we both laugh really loud, but she laughs loud. And then we have to always turn everything way down or else it's like the listener's ears will break.
I love it. Well, Jen, we love you. You're the best.
Thanks for asking me.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you for being a part of It's Okay to Feel.
Important work, what you're doing here. Really important work.
Thank you for saying yes. I felt all twinkly inside when you said that.
Yeah, well, you know, Noan is very dear to me, and now you are too, Jennifer Lynn. But I think the world of you both, and so if Noan asked me, I'd say yes.
Hmm. Well, same to you, friend. Jen, where can the listeners connect with you?
JenniferPasteloff.com is my website. I'm mostly on Instagram at Jen Pasteloff, and my book.
She's the queen.
Yeah, my book is called On Being Human. In paperback, you can get that. And the podcast is What Are You Bringing? You know, so I'm kind of all over.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Spreading joy and beauty in the world.
Well, that's an interesting thing because I grew up. Well, it's just funny when people say stuff like spreading joy, because I grew up, you know, if I had a dime for every single time someone told me you should smile more, or you're miserable, you're that, you know. So sure. I always get a little chuckle when people say like, you're so positive or you're so joyful. I mean, I love it. But yeah, spreading joy. What was the other thing? Joy.
Beauty.
Beauty and truth.
Well, what I most admire about you, Jen, is your humanity. You know, like you show up as yourself, you know, sometimes, you know, to your point, like sometimes not fully yourself and sometimes, but you're always like showing up in with the goal of I'm going to show up my whole self. And it's contagious. Yeah.
Thank
it's
you
inspiring,
for recognizing
you know?
That. Thank you.
All of it. Yeah.
It is thank inspiring. You. There was one post you did of like, it was like your kitchen. You're like, this is what the house looks like. This is what life looks like. And I was like, thank you for posting that. Like, I love how real your Instagram is because you are so inspiring to so many people. So I love that it's people are actually seeing real images.
I think it is so important. And I always laugh because I'll say to people, I'll post a picture of my kitchen. That's like, you know, no one's been in my kitchen. It's like the size of a stamp and I get famous.
It's cozy.
It's hilarious. It's true though. I post a picture of my kitchen and it like went viral. And why is that? It's a really interesting statement. Because on a lot of levels, I think people look at me and they're like, she's so successful and I'm still living in this tiny apartment. So it makes you really question, like, what does it mean to be successful and what does it mean to be happy and all these things? And also is like, I'm not going to hide. It's like, wow, she's so brave. F- that. It's not brave. It's just I have nothing to hide. Right. This is my body. This is my house. This is me.
Beautiful. I love it.
Love it. Well, thanks, Jen. Thank you for being on It's Okay to Feel. You're the best. And listeners, go buy On Being Human. It's in paperback.
Thank you.
Go listen to What Are You Bringing? Go follow Jen on Instagram, all of the things.
And buy it from a local indie store, please.
Yes.
Yeah, my friend Abby has a bookstore, a Black-owned, woman-owned bookstore called Shelves Bookstore. Shelves. So buy it from her.
Yeah.
I'll link that in the show notes.
Okay, great. Great.
Yes. Amazing.
Thanks, friends.
Thank you so much. Tell
Bye.
Charlie hi.
I will.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode, we would love for you to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or just to say hello, head over to Instagram at @Nami_OC, @NAMI_OC, or say hi to Noan at @YouMeEmpathy, or me, Jennifer, Jennifer Lynn, JenipherLynn. Thanks. Have a beautiful day.